welcome back inside the cave, Sunday edition, broadcasting live from ZZ's Sports Bar and Grill. And again, come on in about, 30 minutes, they'll be opening up, and great time to come down and have lunch and have your favorite beverage. And welcome back to Inside the Cave. And as promised, on the other end of our line here this morning, first timer on the Sunday edition. Good morning, Tom Crawford.
Good morning, Pat Hayes. Yeah, it sounds like a great place to hang out. Yeah, I need to drown some misery there, I think, this afternoon after yesterday afternoon. But time's a good healer, and still no doubt about it, Michigan football had an outstanding season in 2022.
Yes, indeed they did. We are a little bit in a depressed state here this morning after that loss. You know, it wasn't more of the fact that Michigan lost. It's how they lost this game.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell. A lot of missed opportunities, digging themselves in the hole. I mean, yeah, there were two blatant missed calls that had compelling ingredients to the final outcome. Obviously, the touchdown, Roman Wilson touchdown, that's 7 points right there. And then the targeting would have given Michigan a couple more plays to see if they could have gone ahead with an extra point, a touchdown and an extra point. But this game, you know, it's like Bo Schembechler used to say, the game is won and lost, you know, 20 to 30 to 40 different plays. And as great as J.J. McCarthy was, and what a fighter that young man is to overcome some, you know, the two pick sixes. I mean, I don't remember a Michigan game, two pick sixes, and or any team winning a game with two pick sixes. I mean, that's crazy. I remember a pick six that Wilton Spade had against Ohio State and how devastating that was. But to have two of them was that really hurt. But Michigan hung in there. I mean, they're down, 18 points, and they score 16 points real rapid. And give credit to TCU. I thought they're a brilliant team. It's Quentin Johnston. I had feared him. I think in a couple of our interviews the last couple of weeks, he was all advertised. I could see Michigan needing a receiver like that. That's a game breaker in that touchdown after Michigan cut it to three, and he broke that tackle from Junior Colson and went the distance. That was a dagger to me.
Well, morning, Tom. I appreciate you and Pat not faking illnesses or injuries to be on the show today. That's right. Well, I was in the same boat as I think most Michigan fans is. I was confident, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I was an 8 that they would get it done. But, you know, looking back on it, JJ's second half, polar opposite from his first half. And I think the way the play calling went in some ways, you know, was better offensively in the second half. So I guess maybe the question would be, trying to put myself in a Michigan fan's shoes here, would be, why didn't we do in the first half what we did in the second? Why wasn't JJ running the ball more? Why weren't we, you know, spreading it around the field and things like that?
Yeah, great point. I'm going to start that. I was texting with a former Michigan quarterback, not going to name him, but during the game, and you know, he was frustrated in the first half that on the read pass option that JJ wasn't showing a little bit more, nuggets there and, you know, taking it and running downhill, because we saw how effective he was in that regard. And there was a different approach. And then obviously in that, you know, the first series, okay, Michigan receives the opening kickoff and Donovan Edwards has a 53-yard run. And I was like, oh my God, this is Ohio State all over again.
Right.
Big plays, big chunk plays. And then they got too cute down there in the red zone with that, you know, Philly special kind of deal. And I was mystified by that. And that kind of laid the groundwork of Gremlins coming out in that first half to me. It's just like, I'm not feeling this vibe, you know, from what happened. And that was devastating. And at the same time, I mean, this Max Duggan, I mean, he didn't have the best game, but Michigan kept blitzing him and gave him opportunities to make big plays where if they, you know, and I'm not a football coach, and these guys know way, way more than me, but it seems like whenever Michigan played more conservatively defensively, it became more effective in not giving up the big play to TCU?
You know, Pat and I went through a couple numbers earlier. You know, pass yards, JJ was obviously had quite a few more than Duggan, but I tried to dig a little deeper and tried to figure this thing out. You know, could you talk about just the importance of third down? You know, TCU was 50% and Michigan was, you know, 3 of 13. And I think that, you know, that's where Duggan seemed a little bit better than JJ, is that he was making some of those throws on third down and keeping his team on the field.
Yeah, that's a good point. Keep in mind, when Michigan lost Luke Schoonmaker, who, you know, was a standing football player for Michigan, he caught that first big pass. He had about a 30-yard reception, and he rolled on his shoulder, and he was gone. He was in the locker room, and it was over with. And that, I think that really hurt Michigan in those third down situations. When they got behind the sticks, when they got into third and sevens and third and sixes and beyond, it was just Colston Loveland and then pretty much Ronnie Bell or Roman Wilson. I mean, Michigan does not have the big – did not go a lot of deep in their receiving core. Maybe, you know, CJ caught a couple balls, but Donovan Edwards, who is supposedly a big threat out of the backfield as a receiver, just caught one ball, and then A.J. Henning had a couple. I mean, I was just they weren't real precise in their aerial game in those third downs, and then Michigan would get stuffed on first down carries up the middle. I mean, Donovan Edwards did end up with 100 with a 127, but half of that was literally in one play, and and he was tackled. You know, I mean, he was thrown for a loss a few times. I got to give credit. There's a couple of defensive player. This D Winters for TCU was absolutely a monster in there, and then Dylan Horton, another guy. There were some tackles for losses that, you know, TCU's got this 3-3-5 that Big Ten never experiences, and you know it's loaded heavy in the second and third levels. But man, Michigan's offensive line, I thought, that's the other caveat. They did not bring it like we expected them to bring it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. In the run game and the pass game, you know, there were a couple where I think they only rushed three and got pressure on JJ, and if not, sacked him once or twice.
Yes, yeah. It's like, how does this happen?
Yeah.
And then JJ would back out of it. He'd reverse pivot, and, you know, we saw what he can do. I mean, he is, you know, we saw with JJ McCarthy, guys, we saw the good, bad, and the ugly. We saw a lot of great things out of him last night. But it just shows you how great this kid is and resilient he is. But also with that, he's a risk taker. Let's be real. And he, you know, trying to thread the needle. And he was throwing Ronnie Bell when he was covering the flat, and we saw the result. And so I mean, that's what you get with JJ McCarthy. And he's going to learn from this. He's going to learn a lot of things. He's going to learn, you know, like in the postgame presser, okay? I mean, he was upset, and he made a statement that he just got up and left. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You're better than that. Don't do that. That's one of those things, that, and Pat can appreciate that. You know, I mean, it's great to be a good guest as a in the press conference when you're running through wins. But when you lose, you have to lose with class. That was probably the only negative. I mean, obviously the pick sixes, but that really bothered me. But he will learn from that. He will mature from that, and he'll have a great year next year.
Yeah, and to take it from his coach, I think probably that's a conversation him and Harbaugh are having. Tom, I have one more question for you, and then Pat's probably going to ask you about officiating in a second. But, you know, Michigan gave up those two pick sixes. But still, the defense, you know, didn't have a great day.
No, they didn't have a great day. I thought the tackling. And, you know, to be honest with you, I thought the tackling on both sides of the ball was not good. And I mean, the junior, you know, Junior Colson was playing hurt out there. He had a shoulder issue. And that's where that broken tackle. I mean, you know, I'm not giving. You know, I understand you got to go out there and make plays, but that you know, I think that really just the tackling alone was not good. I thought Rod Moore and Sandra still were just unbelievable. in that regard. But some other kids didn't have the greatest games, and then the pass rush. I thought Michigan's pass rush would be more effective, and it came really, really close. And it's like when Duggan would just get that ball off right at the last second, you knew it was bad because they were bringing the corners. And that's the gambling aspect of Michigan's defense. But I thought Michigan's defense was going to be much better in this game. I mean, they gave up 225 in the air and another 270. Well, that's 500 total yards. Now, Michigan had over 500 total yards. They had 342 yards passing. Think about that. 342 yards passing, and they lost and 45 points, and they lost the game. It's just like the second game with Ohio State and Clemson. I mean, it's just like these were crazy games, and everybody talks about these were two very well-played playoff games and exciting and all that stuff. But you also got to be critical of respective defenses, in particular some poor tackling.
Well, Sonny Dykes said prior to the game that their 3-3 defense is going to have to stop the Michigan run, and, boy, they certainly did that, Tom. And Michigan probably hasn't seen the 3-3 very often even this year, but Sonny Dykes knew what he had to do, and he did it.
He did make that declaration. I guess he was the one that said, if you stop Michigan's running game, you're gonna win. You know, you're gonna stop Michigan, and they stopped Michigan's running game. I thought they did a pretty good job of Michigan's running game, and they ended up winning the game. Now they gave a lot through the air, and then you got to equate all the other variables, the turnovers that went both ways in that regard. But, back to another thing about JJ, talking about, pre-game, talking about they're going to see Smash Mouth, Big Ten. And I'm just one that, I'm just one of these guys. If I was a coach, I'd try to simmer down the rhetoric. I mean, you just prove it on the field. Okay, you don't have to be boisterous before the game or even after the game. Maybe I'm a little bit old school in that regard, but it's funny because they talked about that Michigan had taken this week very seriously. You know, a lot of starters weren't going to go to all the events, and then it was quiet on the bus and real serious business-like and things like that. In contrast to last year at the Orange Bowl where they did all the activities, but maybe they need to find that sweet spot blend. But whatever on this bowl situation, Pat, you and I are old. We've been through these bowl losses for decades. Michigan loses games in bowl games. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is 1-6. He's dropped 6 bowl games in a row. I'm tired as a fan media. Bowl losses sting because they linger in the offseason. It's that last dose of reflection of what. I'm not saying I want them to go to a pinstripe bowl and win a bowl game, but I cannot wait till Michigan wins a bowl game and just to see how that feels, because it hasn't happened since the 15 season, and there was a gap between that and the 2011 season. And it's just this decade, this last 10, 11 years, Michigan in bowl games, the last several decades, let's just be honest, has been terrible in bowl games, and I just don't like the feel as a fan at least.
Well, you talk about being old school. I'm sure Bo Schembechler would not have let his quarterback say anything about the opposing team on bowl week.
No, I mean, you let Jim Harbaugh guarantee you beat Ohio State in 86. Okay, that one slipped out. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I thought, his players didn't do a lot of chattering before the game. But this is the thing with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, you have a different doc. You have an amazing young man that is filled with, is very animated, a lot of energy, a lot of self-confidence, and an incredible amount of skills, incredible. And he's going to be in New York next year. I want to make that statement. This guy, barring injury, is going to be a Heisman Trophy finalist. Of all those four quarterbacks coming back in the playoffs, CFP, he's the only guy coming back. And I just think he's going to have a great year. But yeah, and once again, maturity has to set in, and I just hope moving forward. I'm not saying they lost the game because of that, but when you incite your opposition, and TCU's making reference to that being disrespected, then that adds to the mix and the motivation of the opponent, and that ends up not being a good thing, right?
Yeah, and, you know, Michigan running back did that, you know, a little over a decade ago, and gave Michigan State some locker room material
there
quite a while. Yeah. So, you know, you're right, and you know, we need to hit a break in a second here, but Tom, I think you're on the right track with that JJ Heisman conversation. If they let him play like they did in the second half, like it almost seemed like, you know, the coaches handcuffed him a little bit in the first half.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree, though.
I think
that's a really good point. Your best player's got to make the plays. And he's a marvelous talent. He poses so much threat to a defense. And now we're not going to know next year. Okay, we're going to go back through the – we're going to be totally, having fool's gold with Michigan's three group of five game. You know, you got East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and then Rutgers, okay? So we're not going to really know what this next year's team is going to be and how good J.J. McCarthy is going to be. But when they got to go to Penn State, when they got to go to Michigan State, a very toxic situation, they have Ohio State coming home, and some other tough games, and then Purdue coming to Ann Arbor, and some other tough games. I mean, we're going to find out. And there's a lot of losses on it. I mean, people don't realize that there's quite a few quality players that are moving on at Michigan this year. And, you know, you're talking about Moody, Olu, Keegan, Zenter, Jamon Green, E.J. Turner, Morris. I mean, there's a Barnhart, I'm trying to think offhand, Michael Barrett. But they got transfer portal kids coming in, and they got a lot of great players coming back as well. So I'm already looking forward to next year, but I'm still scratching my head and got a little sour taste from what happened yesterday.
Absolutely. Tom, we have to take a break, but can you stick around for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely. With you guys, it's an honor.
Anything for you, Pat.
All right, we'll take a break here. You're Inside the Cave, broadcasting live from ZZ's. We'll be back after these words.
We asked people in Michigan why they got the COVID-19 vaccine.
Because I am pregnant and we wanted to protect our baby boy.
I believe in the science.
Protect my friends and help our community.
And I'm ready to get back to somewhat normal.
I want to hug my grandma again.
COVID-19 vaccines are tested for safety and trusted by doctors. Find a vaccine near you at michigan.gov/COVID-vaccine. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Are you heading to college in the fall? The Lenawee County Education Foundation wants to help. Visit www.lisd.us/scholarships and apply for scholarships today. Thanks to our donors, LCEF awards nearly $500,000 in college scholarships to local students each year. Get the support you need to pursue your higher education dreams. All applications and supporting materials are due February 28th, so get started today.
Silly, careless human, you unleashed my power. Just try and stop me. I dare you.
Debris burning is the leading cause of wildfires in Michigan. All it takes is a spark.
Play with me, and you will get burned.
Don't go starting something wild. Burn safely by contacting your local fire department or visiting michigan.gov/burn permit. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Domestic violence can make you feel small.
The name-calling, manipulation, and lies made me feel like I was crazy and worthless.
Free and confidential help is available 24/7, 365. Just call the Michigan Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-866-VOICE-DV. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Tune in Wednesdays Inside the Cave with John Roberts
and Ian Wendt for interesting interviews with Lenawee County athletes and coaches.
Listen for the latest NFL Top 16 power rankings and college football talk about Michigan and Michigan State. Are you a hockey fan? Because Inside the Cave Wednesdays break down Adrian College Bulldog hockey better than the rest.
Tune in for winter high school and college sporting events. Catch Ian Wendt
and John Roberts on Inside the Cave Wednesday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on 96.5 The Cave
and 965thecave.com.
Beautiful day to play some football, boys.
Let's go.
Be great on three.
1, 2, 3.
Be great.
Go bludgeon the rat.
Every Sunday.
Grab your hat and put it on your sleeve. Let's go.
The sounds of Lions football.
Right now, I'm trying to hold it all in.
Resonate here.
They can't stop us.
Violent.
Hey, keep fighting now. Keep fighting, boys.
Coverage all season.
Ain't no quitting me. That's a damn sure.
96.5 The Cave.
Game ball, man. Yeah.
Before you dig in Michigan or put a shovel in the ground, you got to call Miss Dig
811.
They'll have the pros look around. Before you dig that garden in the sun, keep yourself safe, dial 811. It's a law that keeps you safe and your project sound from all of the dangers that are hidden underground. Keep your digging in Michigan safe and fun. Call Miss Dig 811. Keep digging in Michigan safe and fun. Call Miss Dig 811. Sponsored by Miss Dig 811 and the MAB.
Back inside the Cave weekend edition, Pat Hayes along with Ian Wendt and Tom Crawford joining us from the Lansing area. Of course, Tom has the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing. And Tom, there's one subject I want to bring up before we put Michigan to bed here, but it's the officiating. And Joel Klatt made a pretty good point saying that both the Roman Wilson catch was a touchdown, and he also said that the targeting call was a textbook targeting experience there, I guess you'd call it. But he is calling for maybe a national officiating organization where only they can pick the officials they want to. It doesn't have to be broken down by conference or anything like that. We had the SEC officiating the Michigan TCU game last night. I kind of want to get your thoughts on maybe what Klatt said about a national organization for officials to do these championship football games.
Yeah, because I believe in the Final Four in basketball, I mean, you don't have officials from all one conference, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I agree totally with Joel Klatt, and I have a lot of respect for him. I hang on every word. Don't agree with everything, but he gets me to think just about everything when I hear him interview, and especially I've gotten a chance to talk with him Big Ten Media Days, and he's the best content guy there is. He shows up for that. But, yeah, I mean, the Roman Wilson thing really bothered me because when you look at it from a different angle, I mean, you know, he was bobbling it. By the time he had the ball secure, he was well into the end zone. And I don't know, we didn't see on TV any pylon cameras going side to side, which would have been more revealing in that regard. But obviously they did up north, and they sent it to this guy in Pittsburgh, whatever. That one just, you know, disturbed me a little bit. And then, you know, and then what happens next, obviously, you know, Khalil Mullins, you know, he fumbles, and I'm just saying quarterback sneak it four times, you know, in that situation. But, hey, it is what it is. It happened. And, that, you know, they end up costing Michigan 7 points, but they still should have. You got to offset that. You got to play above these officials. I mean, we've gone down this path. Let's go down to the 78, you know, Rose Bowl before they even have review. And, you know, Charlie White, you know, fumbled the ball, the phantom touchdown in the 78 Rose Bowl, Michigan lost that game. They didn't do a review in that game. That would have been flipped the other way. But you have a review and you still can't get it right. Then the targeting, the only thing I can surmise on that was that it wasn't originally called, and the guy didn't leave his feet. Whenever you see a guy leaving his feet, that's a surefire thing. He didn't leave his feet, but it was still targeting. Should have made it. Not saying Michigan would have won the game. But, boy, it would have been fun to see what they could have done, say, at midfield with 25 seconds to go. You got maybe three snaps there in a first down, see how far they get it down there and score a touchdown. But, once again, you got to play over that. But I agree with your point, or Joel Klatt's point, that maybe they should have the best of the best.
Tom, I have one more real Michigan question, and this is a very – broad question and a very, you know, big picture conversation. You know, it took Harbaugh a couple of years to get through the Michigan State and Ohio State hurdles, and now he's gotten his team, you know, into the Big Ten Championship. He's won two straight. how can Michigan break through the national semifinal and, you know, play for all the marbles?
Well, I mean, they're right there, and it was right there. I mean, you know, I shudder to think, I mean, was this the best opportunity? I mean, I don't think when I watched, I mean, Ohio State and Georgia, and that was hard for me even to watch that game because I just wanted to get as far away from football as I could.
You were watching basketball, you know?
No, I mean, I think I went for a walk, and then I gotta see what's going on here just for what I do for a living.
Pat went right to bed, I'll let you know. He went right to bed.
I thought it was those two teams Michigan could have played with. I mean, any of these four teams, any of them could have won the national championship. And TCU, who knows, they could beat Georgia. But I think what Michigan has, you know, to answer your question, is that, I just got to execute better in big games. It seems like in big games, things go wrong that we don't anticipate. You know, like the Ohio State game in 16, Michigan was favored, but 18. They go to their favorite, and they get blown out by Ohio State because they couldn't, you know, Don Brown's defense couldn't muster the shallow crosser, and all of a sudden, you know, 60 points was served up on the Wolverines. It seems like in these huge games, something blatantly goes wrong that we don't anticipate. And I don't know what the magic, you know, secret sauce is to get your team prepared for these games. But, Michigan did not execute well in the first half. Their offensive line didn't do what their Joe Moore Award-winning team should have been doing, or what they have been doing, what it looked like on film, that Michigan should be able to run the football against TCU. And then, obviously, you know, making mistakes and fumbling the ball and things like that. It just seems like in big games, they just got to execute better. I mean, I don't think the scheme was horrendous. Could have been better, but you still got to execute. Players make the plays, and I don't really have an answer for you, but they just got to do better. I'll just put it in a nutshell like
okay.
that.
I know that's a broad question, and, you know, there's never one thing, and this team might look, you know, like you mentioned, they're going to lose quite a bit of talent on the field and production, but they're going to look different next year, so...
Yeah, they are going to look different. I like the physical nature of Jim Harbaugh's team these last 2 years, running the football, and I'll make one other thing is if Blake Corum was healthy, that could have made a big difference, you know. And that's just law. Ohio State lost, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, they lost, you know, in that game last night, and they lost their running backs, and injuries are part of the game. In fact, you know, Michigan or TCU lost their running back halfway through, Kendre Miller. So, but, you know, maybe get as much depth as possible because you can't go deep enough in college football because you're going to need players. Everybody's getting kids hurt, seemingly.
All right, Tom, before we let you go here, Michigan, Maryland play in basketball at 4:30 this afternoon.
Oh, you're going to make him talk about this?
Ian, what is Pat doing to me, Ian? This is brutal.
I don't know. I told him we shouldn't talk about it.
I'm going to go down to that game today at Chrysler Arena. It's a 4:30 tip. And Michigan's come up this basketball loss to Central. The crowd is going to be in it's going to be a morgue down there. I mean, they're going to be hung over from this loss for football because I know how much important football is to Michigan fans. It's going to be an interesting environment down there. They got to win this game. They got to flip this thing because they're going for a long, long season. They're going to have to win 12 Big Ten games this year, guys, if they're going to qualify for the tournament because of the way they've screwed up a non-conference play.
All right, we'll talk about that on Tuesday at 7:25.
Good luck, Tom. Yeah, good luck.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Happy New Year to all your listeners.
All right, Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing.